Hello, my gorgeous uggos. So excited for you to listen to this episode. You might notice that our sound from our mics cut out. We go to backup sound, which will be a little bit different on the air. Stay with us. We love you so much.
Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
I know, we're in our winter PJs.
We're in our winter PJs today. Socks on.
Socks on.
I'm a sock person. They're on at all times.
I get claustrophobic in socks sometimes, and sometimes I love it. It depends on the day.
I think it's because I was raised with this idea, this true fear of raw foot on raw ground. My grandmother really told me that if I walked around barefoot, my ovaries would freeze up and I would never be able to bear children. There was like a lot of panic about the ovaries as a child.
Okay, between Bubba with the yoga book, the beautiful and thin yoga book, and these ovaries freezing, there was a lot of misinformation, I think, going on.
There was. Household. She also used to feed me spicy food because she read that it would like boost my metabolism.
Wow, Chris took himself out to dinner the other night to a whole
alone.
Like, yes, nice. I went out. I was on a friend date. Went out to dinner with my friend Allison. He was like, well, I think I'm just going to kind of like take myself out just for a little
bit. Oh, so romantic.
Yeah, he was like, it's just a little me time, you know? And I was like, totally. He went to Koreatown. He went and hit a few golf balls on one of those like high rise. Yeah, isn't that great? It's literally
Top
a date.
Golf.
Top golf.
Yeah, that is a date. It's a good date.
It's a good date.
Yeah.
And then he took himself to dinner and he said to this old Korean man in this tiny hole in the wall joint, what is the like spiciest thing on the menu? And this guy was like, I don't think you can handle it. It's the spicy squid. And Chris was like, no, I can. And the guy was like, I've never seen a white person. And he was like,
Why don't we watch?
Yeah. You want to stay and watch me? Yeah. You just pull out a seat, daddy. He ordered the spicy squid. He took it down. And the Korean man goes, that is intended for a family of four.
He called him fat.
Chris came home so flattered. He was like, first of all, he'd never seen a white person eat something so spicy. Second of all, it was for a family of four. I did both.
Oh my God.
It was hell in that bedroom that night. Have you ever been woken up by a smell?
I don't know if I have.
You can be woken up by sound. You can be woken up by light.
Yeah. And by smell, sometimes.
But smell?
On special occasions.
I just was like, no, 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 no. I woke him up and I was like, no, 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 stop it.
Oh my God.
It was horrible. I had to open a window. Like,
you paid the ultimate price.
Yes.
You paid the price.
I paid the price of his date.
Oh.
Which I mean is kind of like cheating when you think about it.
Yeah.
The consequences, lipstick on the collar.
They bubbled up between you. As they always do. It's not a victimless crime to cheat.
No. There's always someone getting fucked over, and it was me.
Oh my God.
Had an amazing night, though, myself that night, because we were seated next to a gorgeous man, Alice and I, who ordered a steak and salad alone, sat there with his beautiful dog, and we were so intrigued, because I was like, well, first of all, a meal with no carbs. Wow.
Wow.
Second of all, he got a carafe of Diet Coke, and I was like, oh my God, there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
And then we kind of struck up a conversation. He was a filmmaker, of course.
Ooh.
And then he messaged Alice and was like, I'd love to take you out for dinner.
Can you believe? Oh my God.
I know.
That's spectacular.
It was really sexy, like from start to finish. Did I sacrifice my own time with my friend to kind of put her up on a platter of like, this is like this hot, cool,
apple
gorgeous girl
mouth.
You need to get to know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm listening to her explain what she does for work to this man instead of just, you know, connecting with her on a deeper level.
Of course.
Yeah.
But working through some of the sort of inner emotional turmoil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You sacrificed a lot for the people that you love.
That night.
This week. That night. That night. This
that
week.
Fateful night.
This year. I venture to say.
Have you been sacrificing?
You know, I haven't. I haven't done a thing for a bitch in a year. No, you know what? I've been in a full celebratory mood. I've also been forced into rest because I have strep throat.
Yeah.
Right now, technically, I will be on antibiotics for a little while longer.
And you're about to go to Spain.
I'm about to go to Spain.
So you have to be tip-top.
I'm locked in.
Yeah, yeah.
And not drinking, obviously. Yeah. The drinking and the antibiotics is always a whole... You just... You can't do it.
It just disables it, like a bomb?
Yeah, and also, it like, antibiotics already fuck with your stomach so much that, like, to add alcohol into the mix, it's just hell down there.
Do you want to know something, I mean, horrible that I found out?
Yeah.
In the 24 hours after drinking, I may need to fact check the statistic. Your likelihood of suicidal ideation goes up 7 times or something?
Oh, my God.
It's like 7. You add cocaine and it's 16 times? Wait. And then I found out 8 glasses of wine a week, which that's reasonable. 8 glasses of wine a week.
Yeah.
Think about it.
2 dinners.
You had 2 on Thursday.
Yeah.
You had 3 on Friday night.
And then you had 1.
And you had 3 on Saturday.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
It's a 50% increase of chance of breast cancer.
Yeah, the breast cancer stuff.
I know.
And this will really reveal my abject stupidity. I'm like, but the alcohol's not going to my tits. What do you mean?
It's mother's milk. They love it. They told me. They said yum, yum, yum when they had that natural orange last week.
That crisp, crisp Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. What do you mean that green apple note? Is it going to kill me one day?
No, I have never read like a more acerbic kind of psycho comment section than on that video.
Yeah.
With so many women just up in arms being like, well, what about France? You want to explain to me why the entire nation of France is dying of breast cancer?
I know. They've all fallen off.
They suck that shit from the teat.
Yeah. From a young age.
6 years old, they're on the red.
Yeah.
They're on a rich Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. So there are holes.
Well, also, we forget what stress does. That it's inflammation to the body that causes, like, sort of all illness.
Mm-hmm.
Cancers, you know, chronic... It's, like, inflammation in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And stress causes major inflammation to your body.
Yep.
So that's really what we've got ahead of France there.
No, loneliness and stress is the worst of them all. Wine, arguably, always with a friend.
Building community. Yeah.
And unwinding after a long, hard day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you really...
It's true.
It balances out.
It's like smoking a cigarette while in a SoulCycle class. You're going to be just fine.
No, though.
You're offsetting it.
I did say this to a friend and he was like, but are they accounting for like how much broccoli you eat? And I was like, wait, is that the dumbest counter-argument or the smartest?
Or,
like, I don't.
Can't tell.
I kind of don't know.
I don't know. For any doctors listening, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah. You tell me.
But I don't know.
Honestly, I think you just take what serves you and you leave the rest.
I think so. I'm incredible at forgetting. I forget entire seasons of television. Me and Steven have been like rewatching shows and he's like, oh my God, yes. And then you remember. And I was like, no way. He's like, how is that possible? Like, I sat with you and we watched this together. I have no memory of it.
What is it?
The Office. We're thinking of a Mad Men rewatch.
Oh,
he's like, oh
wow.
God, in that 5th season. And I was like, I don't know what you're referring to.
No, I can't tell.
Can't recall.
Because I might start Gilmore Girls. He's never seen it. He's always been off-put by the title. Girls. Yeah.
Free.
He's like, how could I possibly relate?
Unshackle yourselves, men. Watch it. It's delightful. The only season I feel he'll have a hard one is the one where Lorelai and Rory have that rift where they're not speaking. Rory,
yes.
Like, leaves Yale. That's really the hardest.
As a son to a single mother, I think that'll really bear down.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That show was made for him.
I know.
He needs to watch it.
Exactly. No, that's so true.
Well, I have my inspiration, actually.
Oh God.
I recalled it, and it's on a night out, and it's a positive one. And
okay.
It's a story. You'll be so happy. It's not art.
Okay.
Which it could have been, but it's not. I witnessed something. I witnessed an electric exchange that left me kind of in awe of all parties involved. I was at Shortstop in Echo Park, right across the street from Bar Flores,
Yeah.
It's a Dodgers bar.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, they're on a weeknight. And this is a friend of a friend that I witnessed, a friend of a friend of a friend. And there's a pool table in the back, and there was a very, very sexy man who kind of like was lording over the pool table. He was sort of like the one that no one could beat. So it's like when you win, you get to keep playing.
Oh.
Salt and pepper, kind of like beard, Dickies rolled up, like mm-hmm. good style, like really good t-shirt, kind of like rolled up.
I feel like I know who he is. His name is Paul.
Yeah, it had to be. Like kind of sinewy and beautiful hands, like very veiny, gorgeous hands with some rings on them, you know, like very cool yeah. older guy. And this friend of a friend of a friend just so happened to be like very good at pool, very cute girl, dressed adorably. And she goes up and I feel like there was already, you know, there's already a kind of thing of like, how good can a woman be at pool? Mm-hmm. But she is very good. She goes like every week and she plays. So they have like an amazing game of pool. We're all watching on the sidelines as they play. He is like impressed with her. They're like, they're trading the pool cue back and forth. There's only one, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the budget. I know it's real. It's real. It's affecting us all. So like as they pass it back, every time they have like a little exchange and then like he goes and plays, she goes and plays, she almost beats him. And it's like the closest anyone came all night to beating him.
Okay.
And then they kind of had this like gorgeous tete-a-tete the whole night where it's like he keeps playing, but then he'll like come back and like give her a little whisper.
To clarify, this is not a friend of yours. This is just...
No, I just like witnessed these two people have like the sexiest little meet cute in the whole world. It was like a rom-com in real life. And I was so impressed. It really, I think we forget what it is to just be in awe of another woman for having skills you don't have. Where it's like, I love to watch someone dominate something that I would fail at.
I mean, to dominate a man too is like, it's deeply satisfying. I have a twofold inspiration based on a similar thing.
Yeah.
Which is my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
This week.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
We're not acting like we're not in white.
Yeah, yeah.
But you should be.
But it was deeply satisfying. A guy that I used to talk to, a French man, I never met him, but this is actually insane. God, I was like buck wild rogue, I feel like, in the like 6 to 9 months from my breakup until I met Chris. I was out there in the streets.
Yeah. Stomping the yard.
Regular step up in the rain scene out there.
Yeah.
No, there was a guy, I think he hit me up on Instagram and he was French. And yeah, definitely, because it couldn't have been dating app. No, he was in Paris. So he hit me up on Instagram. We talked on Instagram for a while and then we started texting. We started iMessaging. And we just exchanged nudes, like back and forth and back and forth. Like videos. This is where it sounds like insanely pretentious, but he spoke Italian and French. I think Spanish, God, it's like every European.
Yeah.
That'll be you soon. That'll be you next week. Yeah.
Yeah.
He spoke Italian and French and I speak Italian. So we were texting in Italian, which actually felt so freeing because I could say like sexy stuff and not be embarrassed. I stopped talking to this guy in June or July of 2019. I met Chris in August of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear from this guy again. I think that he maybe ghosted me. Like it just fizzled, like never spoke. He messaged me this week, the week of my nuptials.
Wow, it always happens that way.
It always happens that way. And what is insane is that at that time I was 24. I am now 30.
Yeah.
I have no idea how old this man is. Like he must be, you know, for sure in his 30s. And he must be just trolling his phone, like in his phone, like looking through old news, like just trying to like seeing who's out and about, who's out there. And he messaged me, the opening line was, and then in English, which is strange, we don't talk in English, I miss you. And I like considered responding in Italian, but then I was like, I actually really want to like bring this home.
Yeah.
So I said, lol, I'm getting married this week. This is sad. And he replied like, what? Like, oh shit. And then said like, this is sad. And I thought I slam dunked that interaction. Like I was like,
yeah,
I felt so good about it. Yeah. Blocked him immediately. Was like, oh my God, killed. How hilarious. Like was on cloud nine. Went out that night and was talking about it to my friends. And they were like, you said I'm getting married this week. This is so sad. Like this,
like if only you had reached out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. That's what you told him. That's why he responded so sad. He wasn't being like, yeah, I am a sad man living a sad little life when he responded so sad. He was saying, yeah, this is sad. Yes.
Oh.
I really thought I ate that. Like, what a beautiful chef's kiss of a reply, being like, you sad little soul.
Yeah. Enjoy eating my little crumbs off the ground.
Oh.
No, my blind spot is I knew your intention so clearly that it didn't occur to me to read it in another way.
No, you know me so well. You can read
I was like, I know exactly
what she's trying to say. Yeah.
It didn't occur to me to be like, well, what if I was a stranger reading
this? No, you know my literary tongue.
Yes, I do. I'm familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, it was one of my inspirations because I just thought, my God, everything comes around. I'm going back to New York to get married. And I was talking to this guy in New York. Like, it's all kind of, it's all there.
Yeah.
It's all happening. But my second inspiration was that I had to find a look after my wedding.
Yeah.
And I found this little dress and I was like, oh, perfect. It's kind of like a clubby little dress. Like, looked at the measurements, was like, okay, sick, ordered, say no more. It arrives and I pull it out and I go, oh, it's, I don't know, it's kind of like it's bungee cord inspired. Okay. And I go, oh, it's got a built-in bodysuit. Like, I've never seen a dress with a built-in bodysuit. Like, why on earth would it need this? There are no cutouts. It's just a mini dress. So I'm like, okay, well, we'll just give it the benefit of the doubt. I pull it on and I'm like, cool. I get to like, you know, maybe my rib cage area. I'm like, pull it up. It comes below the nipples. Oh. That is how short the bodysuit of my wedding dress is.
You whore.
My wedding dress. And I'm like, what the act? Who? Yes. What man? You know what? The French man. That's who designed it.
Yeah, he designed it.
I was like, what the fuck is this? And so I thought, okay, well, there's no time. I leave in, you know, 3 days.
Yeah.
I can't order anything. I could hit the flea markets, but, you know, I don't want to. We're in a recession. Like, I hate to say it. It's tariff city. So I pulled together the various white things I had and I sent it to my mom and she said, perfect.
Wow.
And that's my second inspiration. That I went shopping in my own, and that's tariff culture.
It can be done.
Tariff bride. You were Brett bride.
I was a Brett bride.
Tariff bride.
You barefoot walking through the streets of New York like Cosette.
Cosette. Little match girl.
Yeah.
Outside City Hall.
Oh my God.
That's where I'm at.
Wow.
Love is in the air.
Yeah. Love is in the air.
And speaking of voluptuous women.
Yeah.
Sexy women. We both had
sexy women.
Sexy encounters.
Yeah.
Ooh, ba ba boom.
And that, of course, is Scarlett Johansson.
That's Scarlett Johansson.
And that's what we're talking about today.
Oh my God, I love, love this profile.
Me too.
But did you see that it got a lot of hate? Like, maybe not a lot. Maybe I'm like overstating that. Got quite a... I asked ChatGPT actually, because I was just curious.
Really?
I was like, did this get any criticism? And it said, yes, a lot.
Oh!
Because the writer, who's a woman, focused way too much on her looks.
Which I can see.
I can see.
Which I really read as like a playful sort of take on the form.
Yes. And I read it as being the everyman, which we tend to do, and being like the woman looking in and being like, this is how everyone sees Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
This is how all of us see Scarlett Johansson.
Yes. And there is a lot about her looks, like about her shape and her form and her skin and how soft and her arms and...
No, it's a little bit 90s Gwyneth Paltrow...
It
inspired.
Is. It is.
But I wonder, it's all tongue-in-cheek though, right?
That's what, it felt like a wink to me. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a wink, and maybe this is me like bringing in full bias, but the writer is Lily Analik, who's having a very big year right now. Babbitts v. Didion. She did this like joint memoir of these two women. So it's one of the 19 books I'm in the middle of. Fabulous. And she is really a writer that goes all the way in. I mean, she, prior to that, wrote Hollywood's Eve, another, like, a biography of Eve Babbitts. Like, when she's writing about a woman, she's going, like, all the way in. And she is, like, someone that clearly gets, like, obsessed in such a fabulous way that makes, I think, like, the best writing.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, watching someone try to, like, fully untangle someone. And she had a very big podcast as well called Once Upon a Time at Bennington College. That's... very cool.
About, it's a narrative podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like about a story that unfolded.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, she's very cool, very hip, and...
Very gorgeous.
Very gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I know. Two beautiful women. A beautiful woman writing about another beautiful woman.
Nothing sexier in the world.
Yeah, like chocolate pudding. Let's go. So Scarlett Johansson, I mean, in this moment, this profile is 2014. It's Vanity Fair. Let me just give you a sense sort of like what's happening in the culture in 2014. We have the Ice Bucket Challenge. We have Ellen DeGeneres' Oscar selfie. We have Kim Kardashian's paper cover.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
Big.
It was huge. And I came into paper not long after that. So they were still riding the high of that shiny circular ass.
Yeah.
Like a globe. Kind of the best she's ever looked. Yeah. Do you know she's full nude inside? Like JJ?
Full nude, like in the pages of the magazine? I didn't see.
But you see, it's full frontal tits.
Wow.
JJ. So she basically turns around. You know how she's back?
Yeah. Front?
Then she just switches up on the podium. And you just encouraged by Kanye. History repeat itself 10 years later on the Grammys red carpet with the Dickinson story.
Oh my god, that's so scary. Another big wedding, George Clooney and Amal.
Mm.
That really had everyone in a... Everyone was obsessed with that idea. It's like, what if a man married a smart woman?
A normie.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine that. But good hair. Good hair on her.
Yeah. Once there's good hair, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
Kate Middleton.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can be the plainest girl in the world, but if you have good hair... And a famous man marries you.
God, that's true.
We love you.
Because a woman can appreciate a good head of hair. Like, everything else can be explained away with a good hair. They're like, well, not the best way. Great hair when you look at it.
I know.
And yeah. Do you think?
No. I think as a culture, blowouts still reign supreme. A bouncy, straight blowout is...
Victoria's Secret blowout.
Yeah. There are so few curly-haired girls pinned to people's hair mood boards. So yeah. Oh my God. Also, Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin's conscious uncoupling was this year.
Wow.
I know. So much has happened. They've been consciously uncoupled for so long.
I wonder if they're still on really good terms. I think they are, right?
I think they are because I've seen like her, because Dakota Johnson is now dating Chris Martin. It's like the three of them have all hung out.
Are they still together?
I think so.
Dakota and...
I hope.
Oh, God. Please, God.
So yeah, that was kind of everything. And then to give you a little background.
Kind of a happy year.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very much like.
Like nothing's really going on.
All's fine here.
Peak woke.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah. But in the way that like didn't require anyone to do anything uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It was like just like comfortably woke.
Yeah. Like latter years of Obama.
Yeah. Like don't get out on the streets, but like, you know, definitely do a little hashtag whenever possible.
Go on Twitter. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Girls are still on television, I think.
I know.
Yeah.
Which I have been watching. That was my strep throat watch.
Oh, you started again?
God, it's so fucking funny.
I remember when I watched it young, I was so depressed by it.
Yes.
That is probably because I was living it.
Like,
yeah. That was my true experience. They were making fun of me.
Exactly. And how dumb you are
when
you're young. Like how unfathomably dumb.
Yeah. And I was like, this sucks. Like,
yeah.
Bad apartments are so poor.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No. And I think for anyone unfamiliar with Scarlett Johansson's career, she's been around for a very long time. Like, since 1994 was her debut.
Oh my God, that's when I was born.
I know. She played a small role in the movie North. She was 9 years old. 1996, she had, like, her breakthrough with Manny and Lowe, which got, like, an Independent Spirit nomination. And then she had other, kind of, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, Ghost World, which is kind of, like, a cult classic now, usually playing at, like, a hip movie theater once a year. And then it was 2003 that she got Lost in Translation, and that kind of like really launched her. And she is spectacular in that film.
She is.
It is like one of the most like beautiful, like quiet portraits. It's so, so beautiful.
I need to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels crazy that she was in that. And then she was also in Her, which feel like shouts across the ocean to each other.
Yeah. Partner films.
Yeah.
So much personality for like a tiny furry animal.
I know. They really all bring something to the table.
There's a little teddy bear that just like walk around in the room.
Yeah.
And scream.
Shouting. But with that, I feel like we should just dive in.
Yeah. Also, I mean, she looks so beautiful on this cover.
Crazy.
A lot of people called her Miss Piggy. And now I've seen it, I can't unsee it.
Oh my God.
I know.
We just don't have an imagination. I mean, it's how we see faces in sockets.
Yes.
We're like, that's a smiling face. It's like, you fucking idiot. Your little human brain can't help but make little connections like this.
Sloth.
Yeah. She's like, oh, he's smiling at me. Pointing to like a crack on the sidewalk. We're all insane. Raving around. This piggy's insane.
No. Doesn't mean she still had her boob job. R.I.P.
She got rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I know.
God damn it.
Yeah, God damn it.
Her boobs look amazing.
We can never have good things.
Her boobs look amazing.
I know.
Oh my God, they do. I can't stop looking at them.
I know, that's spilling out.
Yeah. Oh, it's so special. Another study in Scarlett. Despite her screen goddess superpowers, that voice, her, in parentheses, those eyes under the skin, the action-ready body, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Scarlett Johansson can also play real. Talking to Lily Analik about her recent endorsement controversy, her foxy French fiancé, and her next big adventure.
Juicy.
You know that my best and possibly only asset is my hair.
Oh my God, we can't go anywhere without you getting compliments.
Only because of the Megastar Flat Iron from Noomi. I'm telling you, dude, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm going to throw some brands out. I used to be a GHD girl. I used to be a Harry Josh girl. I am only...
Chi.
What?
A Chi girl.
I used to be a Chi girl too.
Yeah, I know.
From now on, I'm only a Noomi girl. I'm only a Noomi Megastar Flat Iron girl. I'm telling you, it's the tourmaline technology. If you haven't heard of that, neither had I. It locks in moisture as it passes through your hair. So your hair doesn't get dry. It doesn't get fried. You can still control the heat.
And the infrared light strip prevents damage.
Oh, yeah.
Which is huge. So you can straighten as much as you want without having to worry about frying your ends.
This is an ad, but I'm being so genuine. This is such a good product.
Oh, and you're not the only one. I mean, it has 4.9 stars and 28,000 reviews.
28,000 You're in good reviews. Company. I know that you have an old rusty straightener right now and you need an upgrade, and this is it. You can get 15% off the Megastar Flat Iron with the code UNCOVER. NUMEHair.com with the code UNCOVER.
Scarlett Johansson was my first. Not that I was a virgin. I'd interviewed big shot people before. Never a movie star, though. Still, I knew how to behave in front of one. The basics, at least. Just be cool.
It breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'll do, like, I don't know, she looked at me and everything changed. Where it's like, oh, she's already here and she's already participating and we are already having an interaction. That's what I'm writing about. This is literally, hey, this is my experience.
Here's my background. Like, here's what this means to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which does the everyman thing of like, look, I'm just here basking in their light like you are.
Yeah, I mean, vicariously, imagine, yeah, you're walking into her suite in New York and you are interviewing the biggest star in the world.
Yeah, exactly. So she enters that said suite at the New York Palace Hotel, and it's for the last hour of the shoot. There's a million people there, wardrobe, makeup, photography, magazine people, PR people, assistants to assistants. And like everyone is, you know, moving wildly in all directions. And at the center of the storm is Scarlett. There she stood, a hand on one slim, outthrust hip, in the middle of a room that was mostly window. She wore open-toed gold mules and an off-the-shoulder gown of pleated pink silk and a boobalicious cut.
I've never seen boobalicious in print.
Me neither. Exciting.
Boobalicious.
Boobalicious. It feels like of this time.
Yeah.
Something Lana Turner might have chosen, or Marilyn Monroe. Her face, pouty-lipped and sultry-eyed, skin and hair as luminously white as the pearls dripping from her ears and wrists and fingers. In front of her, a man with a camera was on his knees, fixing her in his lens, snapping away insatiably. On either side of her and behind her, the buildings of Midtown surged up out of the ground into the heavens in ecstatic, phallic salute. As they should have, she looked ravishing, radiant, sublime, good enough to eat.
This is crazy writing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so literary. Like, it's literally like reading fiction.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. The Great Gatsby.
Into the heavens in ecstatic phallic salute.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's something out of the 20s.
It is. It feels self-aware because then she talks about like the starlets of that time and how like Scarlett's body, you know, is reminiscent of like stardom in the way that it was in like old Hollywood, like old movie stars. It feels all kind of related.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting here. She says, you know what I discovered happens when you're around a movie goddess is that you become a man, even if you're not one. You gawk, you gape, you leer. But then you're only doing what you're supposed to do and what she intends you to do. She's seducing the camera and thus by extension you. You can't resist it, and she knows it without ever acknowledging that she knows it. Yeah, this sounds more like she's speaking from experience, this writer. This sounds like the experience of like a beautiful woman. She's like, I am aware I have this effect, but I don't, it's too awkward and uncomfortable to really say the quiet part out loud. And
well, also I feel, and maybe relating back to my inspiration, I didn't even realize at the time, but it's like, there is something so crazy about when you are like gawking at another woman, and like it borders on kind of insane sometimes, but we also feel we have a right to it as women, where it's like, you know, at the point that a man would like maybe look away, it's like we are kind of like,
yeah,
I'm sat and I'm watching.
For sure.
And I'm awed by you. No matter how beautiful I am, no matter how beautiful the world treats me, like I see what you're doing.
You've
here.
Captured my attention.
Yeah.
No, it does feel like we have like a free pass to objectify. Yeah. But it's like, we don't really.
We
and
don't.
We shouldn't.
Really. I know. And like, there are so many, you know, the like social media, like, I'm no better than a man.
Yes.
Where it's like, that is like 100 of those comments on a video of like a beautiful woman just like
with a huge ass.
With a huge ass. Like, yeah. It's like, and we're not.
No, I mean, this is all I'm no better than a man. But it is, I really just think, I don't know. She's obviously like an incredible observer. She's like an astute observer, but
yeah.
It does feel like this is someone who knows this experience inside and out,
mm-hmm.
and is speaking to it and is putting it on the page right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She goes on to say, times passed since the shoot. They like go into another suite. They're about to have their interview. She says, but my sexual identity crisis has not. I still feel male and sleazy, though male and sleazy in a different way. Less like a lurking, peeping El Creepo from a James Ellery novel, more like one of those sad-eyed old roues that Marcello Mastronini used to play in movies that made Europe seem decadent and soul-sick and fun to visit. And why shouldn't I feel like Marcello Mastronini-esque in a fancy hotel room, a bottle of wine chilling in an ice bucket, waiting for a lovely girl to arrive, hoping to get her to do something she'll regret when she does. Not sex stuff, obviously, but I am hoping she'll commit an indiscretion. Tell me something she shouldn't, something personal, something juicy, something that will make for primo copy.
Your whole thing is breaking the fourth wall.
It is!
Primo in print, also.
Sit.
Hang ten.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah, this is really funny. To say that you are waiting for a star to kind of bury themselves is mm-hmm. also, I mean, very revealing.
And refreshing.
Refreshing.
Kind of. There's something about it where it's like, that is obviously what everyone is doing. It feels like the difference of, like, being nice and playing nice. It's like most people will never admit that they're hoping that they say something heinous, that they reveal something they didn't mean to about their relationship. But,
yeah.
Like, we all are. Like, there is a predatory aspect.
I know. I wonder how old Ling was here, because the older I get, the less comfortable I get with the transaction.
I know. And the more panic I feel of, like, oh, my God, if you say something and I have to use it.
Yeah.
Then the ethical dilemma falls on me.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people have no problem burying folks.
I actually don't feel a big hierarchy socially between me and these people. This sounds like an insane thing to say, but I feel like you feel similarly. When you sit with anyone, I truly believe this, knowing you, you feel like equals. Like, you feel like we're two souls just sitting here. We're two human beings.
Yeah.
I feel like when people feel that real stratified, I'm the journalist and you are the celebrity and these are our established roles, I do this, that's when you can be totally comfortable with, like, yeah, tell me you fucked Quentin Tarantino and I can put it in print and feel absolutely
yes.
fine about it. But when you feel like, hey, I'm sitting with another human, I'm sitting with a friend, which we so often do,
yeah.
or I just have a default of feeling that way, I get really freaked out.
I think that is exactly it. It's like when you aren't able to dehumanize someone by putting them on a pedestal,
right.
which is a form of dehumanization,
yes.
lest we forget.
Of course, that's the perfect way to articulate it, the way you said it.
And that's, I think, what offers that separation.
I'm never able to do that
no.
when I'm sitting with them, when I'm even on the Zoom with them. I cannot dehumanize them.
No.
Suddenly, I mean, it's been broken. You're talking to me now.
Yes.
So sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're real now.
Your two souls convening.
Yeah.
But I realize that because people talk sometimes about experiences of like, oh my God, I went to this party and like I felt so out of place there. Like everyone there was so like big shots or there were celebrities there or whatever it is.
I knew you ever feel like that.
No.
Neither do I.
Yes. Sometimes like I'm aware of the fact that these people are absolutely more famous than me. But do I think that I'm not worthy to be in the same room as them? It's like,
you're
what?
Never.
Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Why?
No. And there's a difference between feeling like, oh, I have no friends in this room, or I feel
yeah.
lonely in this room,
like,
and I'm deserving
room.
To be in this room.
Undeserving to be in this room
yeah.
is like a wild way to feel.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yes.
I say this on the Patreon, and anyone who hasn't subscribed, you should subscribe because it's the real tea over there. But I talk about a celebrity who I got some kind of like insider information on, and they said that she assesses you the minute she meets you and what can you do for her. And that is like a universal experience with the celebrity. And I just, when I heard this, thought, what a terrible way to be described.
Like, oh my God.
I can't imagine a worse way to be described, for that to get back to like little old me through maybe like six different channels. but it's still being not like an exaggerated portrait of a person, but kind of a bit of shit talking that I would hear about a friend of a friend. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what it felt like.
No, that's one of the worst things I think that could be said about a person. Right? That and being called homely. I think those are two unforgivable crimes.
Was it in Denzel, like sad-eyed,
the sad-eyed,
grayish woman?
Yeah, sad-eyed plump woman. Also very bad.
How could you write that?
I would
feel okay.
Plump over homely though. Plump. There's
oh, yeah.
an electricity to you.
Yes.
There's a buoyancy. There's something there.
Victorian, plush,
yeah.
fleshy.
Yeah.
Like, there's like, I pushing for the cushion
yeah.
to plump. I used wet blanket. And it launched a whole discussion about the meaning of wet blanket.
Wet blanket is someone that like deflates the energy of a room. Like someone that just like not additive, only brings the vibe down.
Okay.
What is wet blanket to you?
I think I got it wrong.
Oh no!
I described someone as a wet blanket, and I kind of meant like beta.
That's in there.
Okay.
Certainly, a wet blanket can also extinguish the light in a room.
Yeah, a wet blanket, I guess, is literally putting the fire out. Like that is what the meaning is.
It's like we're assuming, but maybe the etymology of wet blanket is something totally different. Maybe it has to do with like a heaviness. They bring a heaviness to the to the conversation.
Oh, it's just the heaviness.
Yeah, it could be.
Interesting.
Which okay. it is. If you've ever tried to move a wet blanket, it's really hard.
She's not a wet blanket, though.
No.
But she is lush and curvy. And I take this personally. No gym bunny sinews on her.
I knew you
would.
Like, I knew you would.
Okay. We can't have muscle now?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm strong.
Okay. I can't lift a suitcase?
I know. And I posted it on the page before. There are photographs of Marilyn Monroe in the gym lifting. Lifting weights.
I know. Well, they look like that. 0.5 pounds, but
the small weights, but the weights nonetheless.
The weights nonetheless. It's the voice that really captures Lily.
Yes, yes. And the fact that she's like relaxed, funny, and kind of foul mouthed. Like she was on the shoot, she is with her now. And yeah, it's like she talks about how like it was a crying shame she wasn't cast as Daisy Buchanan.
Was she up for that role? Because you know who was supposed to be cast was Blake Lively. She was dating Leo DiCaprio at the time. Baz Luhrmann is kind of still friends with Blake Lively, I think, because of that casting process.
Wow.
Can you imagine when they'd gone to Blake?
No, that wouldn't have been right.
Have you been reading about the Jennifer Garner affair with Blake Lively?
No.
You missed it entirely?
I missed it entirely. What's happening?
Oh my God. Stop the presses because I really had to show you something really quick.
Okay, while you look that up, I'll share my research, which was that actresses who were considered for the role of Daisy Buchanan mm-hmm. in the 2013 adaptation of The Great Gatsby, Keira Knightley, Blake Lively, Michelle Williams, Scarlett Johansson, Amanda Seyfried, Natalie Portman, and Rebecca Hall. I mean, Scarlett would have crushed it for sure, especially because it is a big thing in the book. Daisy's voice sounds like it's full of money.
Yeah.
Husky, rhythmic whisper. And yeah, I mean, Scarlett Johansson's voice, it's no shock that she was cast in her as a voice alone. I'm always struck by that every time I'm watching He's Just Not That Into You.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's like,
I can't even do it.
No, we
it's
can't.
It's unbelievable.
We would embarrass ourselves.
No, I need to show you this. So Jennifer Garner, I don't know when this video came out, Ivana, but apparently like Blake Lively and Ben Affleck had an affair while they were co-starring on The Town.
Blake Lively and Ben Affleck had an affair. Oh my God.
While he was still married to Jennifer Garner.
God, fucking damn.
And he was directing The Town and he cast her in that movie. And there's this video that Jennifer Garner must have posted somewhere where she's talking to a statue of Medusa and she says, "Here's where I come to commune with Blake Lively. How you doing, Blake?" You haven't seen this? It went so viral, dude.
Oh my God.
This is where I go to commune with Blake Lively. See how she's doing.
There's also like layers to analyze there because of like Blake, her hair is kind of the big thing about her.
Oh yeah.
The hair care brand, like the wild hair, the Medusa of it all.
Oh,
it's like
the good hair couldn't save her in the end.
No. It can only do so much.
It carried her for a long time.
It did. It really did. I mean, my God, I pitched whole essays about it. I have an essay untouched about Blake Lively's extensions in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, like changing my idea of what it is to be a woman.
I used to have a photo of her in that movie just on my desktop.
Yeah.
To remind myself not to cut my hair.
I bought myself mane and tail, the horse shampoo, because I had like read.
I did the same.
Yeah.
That's what she used.
I just heard that it was the fastest way to grow your hair.
Same.
Out. And I remember like going downstairs and being like, "Mom, like, is there any way that I could get extensions?" And she's like, "But you have curly hair. Like, what?" And she's like, "I was like, I'll straighten it every day. I'll wear the extensions. I'll have my hair to here. Like,
I will run down the beach with my hair out in 85 degree temperatures in Mexico at my soccer trip.
Yeah.
Everything will be
never
perfect.
A drop of sweat.
No.
Never a drop of sweat.
I will beat my soccer coach in the warm-up jog because I'm sprinting. And then I'll fuck it.
And then I'll
at
fuck
17.
It. It'll be perfect. It'll be perfect. Me, who had never played a sport in my life, except for karate. Famously not a team sport, not something that you'd ever interact with. My teacher was 85 years old.
Designed to hurt people.
I had to take an oath that I wouldn't use it in the wild.
Really? That's the karate oath?
Yeah, it's like your body is a weapon. You have to take an oath to be careful as if you were carrying a weapon, like a gun or a knife. When I'm sat next to you like this.
Your body's a weapon.
My body is a weapon and I could spring it any time. And I choose not to use it on you. I choose not to use it on Chris. I choose not to use it on Steven.
I did feel kind of fearful when you said that.
A new feeling between us.
Yeah. I never felt like physically threatened by you.
No,
but now
no.
I do.
Yeah. And what's crazy is like, you know, strength is a piece of it, but really it's like, it's technique. It's like, it's knowing the soft spots of the body and knowing really how to use them to your advantage.
I won't. Soft, curvy Scarlet. Could never.
Could never.
Sinewy gym buddies only. To the front, please.
Oh my God. But we're back to her. Now, again, it's kind of like, she's also like shed the photo shoot glam.
Yeah.
And she's arrived to Lily. Hair scraped back into a ponytail, skin unmakeuped, in clothes that are the opposite of hubba hubba, loose black pants and top, eyeglasses with dark frames. Don't get me wrong, she's still beautiful, a total knockout, but beautiful in the manner of a beautiful grad student, as someone who happens to be beautiful but has her mind on other things, rather than in the manner of a beautiful Hollywood starlet. Of someone who is dressed to the nine, glams to the max, is hot, 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 and in your face about it.
What an incredible compliment.
Yeah.
Happens to be beautiful, but has their mind on other things. Well, they wouldn't kill.
I know. It's surreal. And this is also why I think Lily is in on the joke. It's like the hot, 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 the hubba, hubba. It's like, this is like to also appear in the same paragraph.
Mm.
I can't imagine that it's like accidental.
The sex is so fucking funny. But Scarlet politely yet firmly declines a glass of wine, which flusters me a bit. Because for sure she has a glass of wine and now she's drinking alone. Breast cancer. No, stop. I actually have to cut that out. I feel like that's bad juju.
That is bad.
Just touch wood.
Yeah.
That making small talk. She says, is it weird when perfect strangers address you by your first name? And she was like, no, I feel like an asshole for being taken aback. I don't know if you've seen her current quotes. This is super recent, but she doesn't take photos with fans ever.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like to be perceived.
Yeah, I
outside
know.
Of working environments. Yeah. She's like, I don't want to be in the same space and time with you.
You know, if you're walking down a street and someone screams Beatrice, like you would be kind of like, who is that?
Yeah.
But the idea that that's happening all the time.
God, someone saying Beatrice in the street?
I know.
You'd be like, ooh. Oh my God.
What?
Horrible.
Yeah. It's too much. I wouldn't like it.
Fame is just something that doesn't even remotely appeal to me.
No. It sounds so scary.
No. There's got to be a particular level. There's got to be a sweet spot level. I'm going to try and think of a name that fits in there. Where you can get into any restaurant, but not a soul on these streets know you.
Well, you know who was talking about that actually in sort of the aftermath of the White Lotus press tour is Carrie Coon. Very much in the in crowd.
Yeah.
Like married to a very famous man also. Like both famous, both very well respected, has been in big things. It's like on the Gilded Age in a big way. But she's like, nobody's ever recognized me in a grocery store.
Wonder if that's still the case.
I know.
Because that was her promoting the new show.
Yeah.
But now the White Lotus is... Anywhere. And big. she was a prevailing star. I mean,
I agree. She was my favorite of the three.
She was, I mean,
of the three white women.
Yeah.
And then we kind of go into sort of Scarlett's background, which I didn't know. She grew up in Greenwich Village, which is
rich.
Sick.
Yeah. She doesn't wear New Yorker like a badge, like so many of them do. So
no.
Many are like, New York.
Yeah.
Born in the city, I'll die in the city.
Yeah.
She doesn't do that.
No, she really doesn't.
This was really fascinating, I think. Was how she talks about her relationship with Woody Allen,
mm-hmm.
How she was cast in Woody Allen's Match Point and was playing like basically a woman who should have been like a decade older. Like
Kate
Winslet was originally in the role and then she took over and she was only like 19 at the time, which...
mm-hmm.
And then she was cast in Scoop and then she was cast in Vicky Cristina Barcelona And Lily is saying here that she was kind of like let down by Woody. Like Woody was always using her as a leading lady, but not using her particularly well.
Yeah.
Like she was overshadowed by Penelope Cruz as Maria Elena in Vicky Cristina Barcelona, which is actually one of my favorite movies, I gotta say.
I need to rewatch that. I haven't seen it since I was like a child.
Talk about sexy.
Yeah.
Sexy men and women being sexy. Yeah. Just God. In Spain.
Oh my God, I haven't
watched Before You Go to Spain.
That's like how I watched all of American Horror Story Coven before we went to New Orleans.
You have to watch. You have to watch it.
I think it's so fascinating what Lily also does here, where she kind of like calls out the thing that I think most people try to bury. Of yeah. Like, how do you explain away weird years? Where like someone wasn't working, or they were in a string of like really bad movies, or like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence kind of like disappearing after being so in the public eye. So she talks about this period of time between 2005 and 2009. She was in a bunch of movies that like weren't anything to speak of. The Island, The Spirit, The Black Dahlia. Is that any one of you out there's favorite movies?
Yeah.
I would guess no.
I've never heard of The Spirit.
No, I've never heard of The Spirit myself. She recorded some albums. Like she did all the stuff that like stars do. She married Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, which I think says it all. Like that's the guy you marry who was, I mean, how would you describe him? Like B plus list?
Yeah, like known kind of for just like early kind of like raunchy little rom-coms kind of.
But I have heard her talk about their marriage and say how hard it was for her to be doing better than the man she was with.
Yeah, yep. They were married in, they were engaged in 2008, married in 2008 as well, and divorced by 2010, like filed for divorce, and their divorce was finalized in 2011. He marries Blake Lively in a plantation in 2012.
So if anyone can put those dates together.
Yeah.
When was the Green Lantern? 2010?
Yeah, shot in 2010. Yeah.
And they created a joint company, which just came out in Delaware, called Van Zan. Vancouver and Tarzana, both of Blake and Ryan's hometowns in 2010. Would you do that if you were just co-stars on a movie or?
Colleagues?
Yeah.
Just colleagues.
Colleagues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think one can assume that they were having a full-blown affair.
Allegedly. Yeah.
I mean, it seems to be the track record, according to Jennifer Garner and her Medusa video.
Yeah, so true. We have to look at the text.
How you doing, Blake?
Yeah. And she sort of mentioned here in that Scarlett's role as Black Widow was this kind of like huge thing that happened after the failures of Catwoman and Elektra. Elektra, a movie that I loved and deeply admired. But her return, which is so interesting, I feel like you don't see this happening very often, was in the theater. Scarlett was cast in Arthur Miller's A View from the Bridge, and like it was after this kind of weird period of time. It was 2009, and it is known, I feel like, in the theater world of like, God damn it, when they cast like an A-list star or a B-list star and
yeah.
They've never done theater before and you're just like watching them fail or like just like be famous on a stage.
Me with tickets to see Sarah Hyland as Daisy in The Great Gatsby on Broadway.
Perfect.
Put the guns on about it. Yeah. You holster those pistols. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
They were the cheapest tickets in town.
My friend just went to see Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, I see. How much were those?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll ask.
So yeah. I'm excited for that. Yeah, but yeah, I can imagine the frustration of having another A-list Hollywood actor be like, I think I might try and do it. I think I might try and
step into these character shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
But she killed it. She absolutely killed it. The reviews, and I read some of them, was like an inspiration of our time. Like, whoa. Melted into the role. She got a Tony for it.
Yeah.
And people were just like moot. And this is like our first quote from her. She says, I was uninspired by my job from a period of time. I didn't really understand what the purpose of it was other than to stay relevant, which is so not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But doing the play, I realized I could still own my own performance, that it was mine to present however I wanted to.
I feel like this is the truest creative experience. Everyone goes through
yes.
this. I'm just like, this has got so far away from the point.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm just doing this to do it. I have to fall back in love with
yes, the actual thing. And really the lie of strike while the iron's hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if things are going well, keep doing things.
Yes.
Regardless of what those things are.
Yeah. I fall into that trap all the time.
Oh, me too.
The momentum component, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, the momentum. Like, if we don't continue the momentum, and we'll get into this later in this episode.
Of course.
But I am so fearful that everything goes away.
It is the greatest lie of our time, that, like, momentum leads to greatness. It's like, momentum is just momentum. It's like kinetic energy. It is, like, if you're not doing things that you're proud of or that you care about or that excite you, then the momentum will eventually die down, and what are you left with?
And people can hear when you're getting drained. Like, people can feel it.
Yes.
Like, it's like, and audiences can feel it. If she is just taking, I don't know, yet another Woody Allen movie because she's like, I've got to keep my name in those
starry lights. Yeah.
People are like, I'm fucking sick of Scarlett Johansson. Kind of the smartest thing she could have done.
Yeah. Really smart.
These days, there's a sense of restlessness, of urgency, of compulsion even about how she's conducting her career. A veritable storm of roles and projects and work. So many, so much it's hard to keep track of. The entertainment industry at its basis, truest level, is a flesh trade. And flesh only stays sweet and young so long. Competition among actresses is ferocious and unrelenting. And at 29, she might well have been the height of her desirability and power. You can feel her need to hurry. Pack it all in. Get it while the getting's good.
I'm chills.
That is a really tough, tough read.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's a read.
Yes.
It's being fucking read.
A flesh trade?
A flesh trade. For someone that now has a skincare brand 10 years later.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard that.
Her skincare brand. I love it.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad for that.
Lovely PR ladies who sent it to me. I love it so much.
Yeah. I have to try it. For Black Widow specifically, she kind of like gave it all.
Yeah, she went after it.
In with red hair.
That's fucking crazy.
It is.
To be known as a bombshell blonde and to show up and be like, hi,
I want the role.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Can you see what I did?
And Lily kind of astutely points out here that the Black Widow could have so easily been a bimbo role,
yeah,
like a sex kitten in a cat suit.
Mm-hmm.
But Scarlett manages to make it more than that. She's sly and sexy and tough and mysterious.
She's like, Black Widow is a steady gig and a hefty paycheck. Though a small thing is, it's getting harder and harder to make money making movies. And megastar ingenues, after all, have to eat too.
Oh God. My God. Oh my
she
God.
She doesn't let up for a goddamn second.
I know.
Put down the knife and fork.
No, really, truly. Then she was in Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Don John.
Yeah, okay.
Which was crazy.
Yeah, Don John, I loved the idea. Like, great performances. I don't know why it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
It was too much.
What was wrong?
I think it wasn't clear that it was supposed to be like a comment on like toxic masculinity. It just seemed like toxic masculinity on the screen.
I also think it was bizarre that he ended up fucking Julianne Moore, who was kind of playing the role of like therapist.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was all very strange.
So strange. So strange.
But I really loved the idea.
Me like, too. I remember being excited to watch
same.
It. I like petitioned, I think I saw it in theater.
Yes, yeah, so did I. I think the trailer was also one, you know, when you just get hooked by such a good trailer and usually it was a bad movie. One.
Yeah.
It was like, I love my porn, I love my church, I love my mom, I love my porn. Like it was that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It was powerful and like a good song.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Like a beat. I was really paying attention to movies.
Same.
Her was such a big one.
Gripped me.
I was in the indie movie theater in Orange County every weekend. It was like where I went. It was my church.
Because we were young.
We were young. And we were just making our first kind of choices.
Making choices.
About films to watch.
Yes.
I think.
And we wanted to go on dates and be like, you watch her? What do you know about
I bought tickets cinema. For me and my high school boyfriend to go watch her.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did we think? That said.
Yeah.
About sort of our stunted communication as a species. What do you think?
Where are we going?
Where
just
are we going?
Technologically.
Yeah.
Ex Machina.
I know.
Same era.
Yeah.
Ex Machina, I had nightmares about for, like, actually weeks.
I can understand. It's a much darker movie than we give it credit for.
Also, just for anyone with a minutia of claustrophobia,
yeah,
the ending, being stuck.
Yeah.
Get me out.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. That's scary. That is scary. And Scarlett killed her.
Dude, who wrote her? Was it
Spike Jones? Yeah, Spike Jones and Sofia Coppola were together. And Lost in Translation was like an early movie about their relationship and her feeling almost like this like kept woman, like, you know, not finding her place.
Spike Jones and Sofia Coppola dated?
Yeah, they were married.
What? No.
And then Her is his divorce movie, and he's talked about how it was almost like his response to Lost in Translation.
How do I not know that?
divorced in 2003.
And she felt...
2003. It was... Lost in Translation was 2003.
And she felt too young and, like, not good enough. And...
Yeah. His film, 10 years later, Her, was sort of, like, a reflection on their relationship and the aftermath and, like, the, you know, just, like, what happened between them.
Wow.
Isn't that... It's really stunning. Art can be a way to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Lily brings something here where she talks about sort of, like, the choice that Scarlett made... Samantha, which is like the OS1, that sort of like, she's just like a voice in a room.
The Siri.
Yeah, the Siri that this man falls in love with, played by Joaquin Phoenix. It could have been like just like a sexy, husky, like hot lady, but she plays it as like really like earnest and like un-femme fatale-ish.
How far away are we to have 10, 11 years on?
I know.
And that is, I mean, people have full virtual boyfriends.
No. Like, I mean, I'm hearing Steven scream in the other room. Hey, Siri. Hey, Siri.
Yeah.
What's the temperature outside? And I'm like, I'm right here.
You can ask me.
You can ask me.
Your wife loves you.
Who loves you and was just outside. Me crying in the other room folding laundry. Like, it's invisible. The invisible woman. I never use her. I'm never talking to her.
Whoa, did you see the viral stuff about Siri recently?
No.
No, it was Alexa. It was Alexa, sorry.
I just got so lightheaded. Oh my God. Thinking about all this.
It was Alexa.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Have you seen the viral TikTok of asking Alexa who current celebrities are?
No.
And she says Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and J.D. Vance. And like, think about
what?
Who runs Alexa.
Oh my God.
Mr. Bezos. Mr. Bezos.
They're all in bed for them. Little polycule. But she's also here to promote, which, like, for once in our goddamn lives, the movie that the star is here to promote is actually also fabulous. Under the Skin is one of the best movies I've seen, I think, in a very long time. I love that film. She's crazy in it.
I've never seen it.
It is unbelievable. It is, like, a movie that, like, it's, like, a brain melting.
Okay, Under the Skin. I'm writing it.
Lily writes, she does most of her acting with her eyes, with her body, too. There's quite a bit of nudity in the film. And nudity in circumstances that are less than glamorous. It's an astonishing performance without fear or vanity. Maybe the best of her career.
She's also trying to get Truman Capote's novella Summer Crossing off the ground. Did that ever get made?
No. I looked it up and it's like still on IMDb as like the rights are with Scarlett Johansson.
No way.
10 years later. I know.
Poor thing.
These things move at a glacial pace. I mean, really when you see anything that's made, it's like miraculous. It's like, oh wow, someone had this idea 9 years ago.
Literally.
And then we get into a little touch of controversy here, which is all too relevant today.
All too relevant, but also so situates us in 2014 because of how mild this controversy is.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of like this era and blog culture and how I used to be a writer at this time, because we used to pick up on anything like this and write about it. Whereas now the shit that is obviously happening is so extreme. And this just doesn't even scratch the surface. She did a deal with SodaStream.
Of course.
Which has a factory in the occupied West Bank.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And she was kind of their spokesperson for this bubbly water. She was being called the new face of apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
And she's upset about it. Also, she's like a Jewish woman. And like, I mean...
She's also the global ambassador for Oxfam.
Was. The SodaStream controversy severed their ties. Scarlett goes into kind of like, there's a lot of anti-Semitism out there, is her like official addressing of this subject. And Lily is like, yes, that is true. And she's like, but I also believe that people's anger in Israeli occupation of Arab land is legitimate and real. I also believe that people's anger at Scarlett's association with SodaStream is, if not misdirected, at least not proportional.
And then note, this shitstorm too would pass. Scarlett continued to stand by SodaStream, even though it meant her and Oxfam would call it quits. Then Miley Cyrus's Bangers tour started. Onstage antics included simulated oral sex with a guy wearing a Bill Clinton mask. The media had a new thing to wring its hands over.
Yeah.
We were just, it was light fare.
Yeah.
It was really, we had nothing going on.
We
were bored out of our minds.
Yeah. So, and I mean, this happens often because the occupation of Palestine has been ongoing. It's not something that like started a year ago. So people have been criticized for like having shows in Israel. Like musical artists have to contend with like, will you play in Israel? Like, does that mean you like tacitly support Israel's agenda?
Joy Belord?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking about.
Got taken down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just love the way that Lily breaks the fourth wall every 2 seconds. She then says, sensitive topic number two, Scarlett's engagement to journalist and ad man Romain Duryac. I don't know. Yeah. When I mentioned his name, my tone is tentative, borderline apologetic, being there, because her love life is none of my beeswax. I have no right to ask her about it. And yet that's exactly what I'm doing. I see a wariness creep into her eyes. She doesn't shut down though, so I keep going. Pointing out to her that he's foxy in French. Yeah. That is so iconic. Just to be like, how's your boyfriend? Super hot. So hot.
That he was hot.
Really, really hot. Good for you. Hot. Really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, yeah, he's really hot. That's what she's but she's been romantically linked to at this point. You want to hear this roster? Josh Hartnett, Jared Leto, Sean Penn, and obviously Ryan Reynolds. That's hot man. I love to see hot man with a hot woman, you yeah. know, like it's really frustrating when I just see a lot of hot women with
okay men.
Okay men.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, it annoys me. It,
yeah. It's deeply annoying.
Like you and Steven. Careful.
Which camp do we fall?
Are so beautifully matched, like attractiveness wise. It is so, it is deeply satisfying. It yeah. is so.
I feel pleased. With where we're at.
It's pleasing.
Yeah, I would say the same of you and Chris. That's kind of her boyfriend. It's like where we...
Yeah, so she is pregnant, I guess, now. Johansson and her fiancé, Romain Duryac, are expecting their first child this summer. But she's like, he's in the whole art scene world. It's nice that we can enjoy each other's worlds. We don't have to deal with, like, these crazy conflicting schedules. And she was like, and actors in general are obsessed with emotions. It sounds like she's fucking over actors.
Yeah. Understandably.
And to end up with, like, Colin Jost, like, a comedy writer feels like, oh, that feel, yeah. That's somewhere in between.
Yes, 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 totally.
Oh, holy shit. Have you seen Romain?
No.
Oh, he's really hot.
Is he really hot?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Thank God you looked him up. I didn't think to. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let me, like, pull up another photo.
Yeah, like, that's a hot man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's, like, hotter than Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. She really didn't, like, stoop too low to get this, like, French journalist.
No.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Oh, my God, and a journalist.
Yeah.
Wow. Fabulous. Colin Jost is cute, too. I think he's cute.
He is. It's funny because all these guys kind of more or less look the same. She has such a type.
Yeah.
She's
actually cookie.
I was just about to say, it's the cookie type.
Yeah, it is.
She loves the cookie. Like, that is Ryan Reynolds meets Colin Jost.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
That olive skin, brown eyes, brown hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
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 If I was Ryan, I'd kind of be like, whoa.
Yeah.
It would be hard Steven, on all of us.
Yeah.
With a curly-haired, brown-eyed Eastern European vixen.
I know.
What is this?
Well, Steven does really have a type.
Brown hair. Oh, yeah. Lorelei.
No. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, kind of. And all of us, I'm afraid to say this out loud, all of us are journalists.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, all of us.
The girls he stated.
Yeah.
And they look like you?
They look, I mean, not like me, but they're all brown-haired, brown-eyed journalists.
Wow.
I'm the witch.
You're the witch that got him.
I'm the witch that got him.
You're Medusa.
I'm Medusa. I am.
Some girls out there being like, this is where I go to get yeah. with a brother.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Romain.
The final fourth wall where she really kind of shatters it this time. Which she says, like, she turns the tape recorder off. You know, she didn't, obviously, Scarlett didn't reveal to her that she was pregnant. And she realizes kind of, like, wow, like, I was kind of with two different Scarlets. Like, during the photo shoot, there was Scarlett the star, the persona that's pure artifice. And it takes, like, all the beauty and sexuality and glamour that she naturally possesses and heightens it. And that persona is not meant to really be seen up close. And then during the interview, there was real Scarlett, but real... Lily writes with quotes around it. A persona that likely resembles who she is behind closed doors without being quite that. I understand why she'd need the second persona, a mask with her own face painted on it, basically, and why the wearing of such a mask would be necessary, if not to her survival, then to her sense of self. Though maybe for her survival too. Fame and celebrity can tear those who have them to pieces. Just look at Marilyn Monroe, just look at Lindsay Lohan. The second persona allows her to give you what you want, intimacy. Revelation, nakedness, the illusion of those things anyway, which, as it turns out, is close enough, which, as it turns out, you'll take, while allowing her to maintain her privacy in midst of public display. It allows her to maintain, as well, her mystery. And mystery is essential to stardom. It's It's what gives the power to fascinate, beguile.
Fascinate.
Oh.
I was like, that's,
oh my
that's
God. Quite a normal my dyslexia. Word. I just.
You read it as like facsimile.
Facsimile, yeah. I did. I'm so sorry that you guys have to hear that. I don't know what to say. Oh my God. And that's how I know I'm at the end of the profile.
No, literally. Fascinate.
To fascinate, beguile, captivate, haunt.
Yeah.
And that is so true.
No, I mean, this is one of the most beautifully constructed paragraphs that I think we've ever read. It is really stunning writing. And again, just true. Like, everything that Lily has said has just been so true.
So true.
And it's not even that it's new. Like, yeah. I think that no observations have been fresh and like, whoa, she's really saying something I've never heard before.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, you're right. I guess some blonde woman comes to the hotel room, knocks on the door, and is like, your time with Scarlett is up, and they leave the hotel suite together. They talk and laugh as they ride the elevator down to the lobby, and she's like, I can tell Scarlett's tired.
Lily's sure that Scarlett's eager to be alone, unwind, take off the mask. It's cold when we step outside, and we shake hands quickly, Lily writes. I wait to see which direction she's headed in, and then go the opposite.
Beautiful sentence.
Beautiful sentence.
And I've done that so many times.
Oh my God, yeah.
I've been like, and my train is in the same way, but I'm gonna.
But I'm just gonna
turn this.
I'm
corner.
Gonna pop over here.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn this corner.
It'll be more normal for me to go over here.
Yeah, just we cannot walk in the same direction. And
we've
cross
said
the street.
Goodbye.
We've said goodbye.
Yeah,
God, that was so good.
Yeah, it was really,
that was
really tasty.
So good,
scrumptious.
I gotta say, this is someone you didn't ask me, but I'm volunteering the information that is someone I would die to interview.
Me too.
I really love her.
I love
her.
And
she, to me, is the Brad Pitt type of, like, everyone wants to be her, everyone wants to be with her, and I'm completely fine with that.
And she does have, like, real mystery to her.
Yes.
Which not every starlet does. She's not a confessional starlet. Like, I didn't even know that she was from Greenwich Village. There's, like, all this information that floats in the ether, but isn't connected to her necessarily.
And her beauty, the criticism this piece received is reductive because, yes, it was focused on her appearance, but it's not just her appearance. It's this overall allure that she has. Like, she is enchanting.
Yeah.
It's not just the face and the body and the voice. It's an aura. It's someone that if Chris left me for Scarlett Johansson, I'd be proud. I'd wear it as a badge of honor. I'd wear it in my Instagram bio.
Yeah, of course.
My ex-boyfriend is now dating Scarlett Johansson.
Imagine.
Nothing sexier in the world.
Yeah.
She is just the best embodiment of femininity that we have, kind of.
Yeah.
And just gorgeous. I can imagine being taken with her like this.
And it seeps into even her voice.
I know.
And that's something you can't fake. That's something that God...
Yeah, God...
kissed down.
God said, you want a little something extra?
Yeah.
What a profile to conclude our season on.
I know. We're taking the summer off.
I think that sounds maybe longer than we intend.
Yeah.
We haven't had a break, we realized, since 2020. This time, 2023. We made our first season of 12 episodes.
Yeah.
And then we went, see ya. And we stepped away for months.
Yeah.
And then we came back and we never, ever took a break again. And we got to this point and we're both traveling. Ivana's going to Spain.
I'm just getting married.
We've got to stop. There's going to be another way to say it. But I'm going to New York and South Carolina, and we were like, okay, this is the perfect time.
Yeah.
We take a little break, we recalibrate, but for our Patreon subscribers, you can continue to hear us. We're going to do episodes every week, our little bonus apps where we talk all the shit about ourselves, but also the celebrity gossip that we hear around town that is going to live there. And then we'll be back in a couple months with new episodes.
Exactly. And we thank you for your patience and love and kindness of us, because we're people who have, like, needs, and, you know, I think it'll be really lovely. And also it'll give us the time to, like, cook up, you know, little fun things, ideas, like, read. I haven't, like, done one of our deep dives of when I'm, like, in the archives and finding, excavating profiles in a while.
Exactly. We're responding to the news, we're looking for who's relevant, and then we're just trying to, like, pull something out of the crevices of the magazine pages. I was going to say something far more guttural.
Yeah.
But no, I think this will be really exciting for both of us. And I know that we've pushed the Patreon so goddamn hard, but we're also just really excited to kind of really lean into the Patreon and have fun there.
And also be like writing on there.
Yeah.
Like, to have like a little space just for us and our thoughts, our little joint thoughts.
And to the others who are just ignoring our tiers and making up your own cost on the Patreon. You are insane.
I'm in awe.
I'm in awe. You're just like choosing to pay $1 million for no reason. We are just in your eternal debt. That is just so delightful. Yeah. We love you. But we do have tiers where you get different things. And our top tier A-list Uggos can request profiles from us. And we have done a couple that have been requested. So head over there to keep hearing us. And in the meantime, we can't wait to see you again in a couple months. We love you so much. We say it every week, but we truly fucking mean it. Thank you for being on this ride with us. We have so much fun doing it, and we will keep doing it. It's just been a dream, and it's for sure made me smarter.
Oh my God, yeah.
I hope it's made you smarter.
I pray. I also had so much fun today.
To go out on those on the bodacious breasts of Scarlett Johansson. Just to be bouncing along into the sunset. Yeah,
I know. Off to the ocean we go. Two little buoys.
Like just... on the dune worm.
What a powerful visual.
Okay, goodbye. Oh my God,
goodbye. See you soon.
The dune sandworm.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.